Hello. You're listening to What the Fuck Do We Know? Meaning. Meaning of life? Meaning in life. What are we talking about today?
Meaning to life. Meaning from life.
What is meaning to life?
I don't know. I'm just testing out your English aversion to English grammar mistakes.
Meaning of life and meaning in life are two correct things. And they're, would you say they are different things or it's the same thing?
For me, it's the same.
Why? I disagree.
Well, if it's
strongly.
Different.
Strongly.
Wow. So passionate.
Yes. Passionate about prepositions.
The next thing will be not pronouns, but prepositions.
What do you mean? People start choosing their prepositions? I'm sorry, but I cannot relate with on, so everything is just in for me.
Well, actually, in Ukraine, it's like in Ukraine or on Ukraine, it's a big thing.
Who is having this conversation?
It's a big
why,
thing.
Wait, first of all, big. Why is it a big thing? What the fuck does it matter?
Because...
Na Ukraina ili v Ukraina?
Yeah, because on Ukraine... It implies that it is not a sovereign country, but it's just a land within a bigger state, basically. So right now it got politicized, and people who support Ukraine say it's in Ukraine. In Russia, people say it's on Ukraine, like Russian government, for instance.
It is so stupid. I'm sorry. It's so stupid.
That's how it
is. It's on Ukraine. It's a surface. It's in Ukraine. It has borders. The fuck does it matter? It's such a stupid thing to have.
Is it a good intro to our topic?
Yeah,
I feel like it's enough topic.
I mean, some people are stupid. Okay, anyway.
I don't agree here, but I don't
know. Some people, you don't agree that some people are stupid?
They're just different.
People are stupid. Okay, let's go back to where we were before. Meaning of life, meaning in life. What do I think? I think that finding meaning...
Ask yourself a question and answer it. Good job.
No, that was a question you asked me earlier. Or you replied.
Okay, go ahead.
Somehow. God, that's how it is working with just unprofessional people who don't know how to be serious. I'm talking about a very serious thing. This is something
you can
that,
start talking already.
Okay, thank you. Meaning of life. Finding meaning of life is like, for me, it's kind of related to why am I here? You know, why am I here? That is what for meaning of life for me is like. Many people are, when people
like
say
purpose perspective.
Yeah, like purpose. Yeah, people are looking for purpose. I think that's what they ask meaning of life for. People in general. Personally, if I ask meaning of life, it's not just why am I here, but it's like why are we all here? But maybe more how are we all here and what are we all doing here? But meaning in life, I believe, is people finding a way to add value to their life. It's not why am I here, but it's what can I do to make my life seem meaningful.
So more, it's about feeling.
Yeah, it's more about like feeling that they did something. It's like, so meaning in life, I would totally connect to people trying to create a legacy for themselves, people doing things to leave something, an imprint in the world or something. And meaning of life, it's more of just like, I think you would have to, you know, it's more of an existential question and it's about like God sometimes and it's just, more purpose-driven, more like, you understand me? Do you understand me?
I think I do, but I don't want to distinguish, but I recognize these distinctions. I think they're useful, but I'm not sure that's how this is the terminology people use. For me, it doesn't bring any associations like the change in prepositions. So I suggest using it interchangeably.
I don't.
You don't, but I will not remember it. But I do agree with the purpose perspective. I think this is what a lot of people think about when they say it. And that's not the kind of the way I see it. For me, meaningfulness is a feeling. And it's more about, I guess, at the end, I just reduce it to a psychological question. And if we'll probably talk about components of a meaningful life. And for me, it's just a strictly psychological question.
So this is meaning in life. A meaningful life would be meaning in life. It's finding, it's feeling and finding value to your life, finding some kind of worth in your life, meaning in life.
A meaning of life is, this is any life. This is like existential.
Yeah, it's like, it's more of an existential question of why are we here?
Okay, I'll try to memorize your terminology.
We can talk about meaningfulness, you know, that is meaning in life to me at least.
Or we can talk about both of those things.
Yeah, you know, I'm very, very open to everything.
So open. Okay, so let's start with this purpose thing.
Okay.
So I'm the kind of person who doesn't think there is any purpose.
Yeah, you're useless on this earth. We know.
Not only to me, to everyone.
Well, you are useless to everyone. That's
including
correct.
Thank you. Everyone seems to like hitting on my self-esteem today.
Your bosses did?
No, other people.
Who?
My speaking club.
They said something about your self-esteem?
They didn't say it. They just...
Insinuated something?
They were just being themselves, but... But it's just, they're just too smart and too mature.
Bitches.
And I envy. Nihilism.
Okay.
No, nihilism is...
First you're going to talk about purpose, right?
Okay, purpose. Do you feel like there is any purpose?
So, of course, because it's just, for me to believe in some kind of purpose, I think that I'm going to have to believe in some kind of external force that has beforehand kind of drawn a path for us and created some kind of purpose for us, you know. I think I would have to believe in that. So I don't believe in purpose in the way many people who talk about it believe in. Like, I don't think that we are here for, like, I think many people think each person is here for an individual, you know, reason, right? Like, each person has a purpose. No. But the way I've chosen to believe in purpose is through the eyes of extinction.
I don't know what you mean yet, but I think we will have a disagreement here. I already feel it.
We do have a disagreement here because when I say it, you always think of me saying that like the end has created a purpose, right? So what we've talked about this before a little bit, as you would say,
explain.
Off the record.
I think it was on record, but
it was on a scratched record.
Okay,
so. I don't strongly believe in it, obviously, because I don't think too much of having individual purpose. But I think in general terms, I feel like something that has happened repeatedly on this planet is extinction. There have been how many big ones? Five? Three?
Okay, five.
I don't remember.
Six?
I don't remember. But there have been these big extinctions. And another thing that I feel like up till now, I don't know if it will change, but up till now, a constant that we have had is end. Things finish. Do you disagree with me that it's a constant? That end is a constant?
I think that's, what do you mean by end? Because there, this word is used in so many different definitions. A movie has an end, but this is very different from an end of life. This is very different from an end of era.
But the concept of end is something that is a natural existing thing and something we have also kind of taken into almost everything in our life. We don't continuously eat. We stop at some point, which means that there's an end to a time period. Day ends, night ends, life ends, movies end. But end is a concept that exists
but
naturally.
All of those are different ends.
Nevertheless,
like the end
it
universe,
is an end. Nevertheless, it is
no,
an end.
No, it's the same word, but it's not the same phenomenon.
What do you mean it's not the same phenomenon? I'm dying and a movie ending. It is an end of a story. How is that different?
No, you're dying. This is your brain stopping functioning, and a movie stopping is just the
result. But what
not
is the result? It's not
frames.
Continuing. There is no more after it. Isn't that the
No,
result?
Your body still exists. It's a continuation.
There is no life after it.
Oh, there is some bugs will eat your body. Don't worry.
There is no life after it. You know
okay,
what I'm
go
talking
on.
About?
I disagree.
There is life after I die? What do you disagree with?
No, I mean,
that
there is no
end?
Life in your brain. But I think that you just use the concept of end in so many different definitions, and then you're trying to...
What do you mean in so many different definitions? End is defined in a specific
define
way.
Define end.
But it's the stop to continuation of something. It just stops continuing. It's the end of a process. It's a stop.
The end is the end of the process.
No, you know what I mean. The thing stops continuing. That is the end. No matter in what form it is, if it's the end of my life, or if it's the end of a movie, or the end of a book, or the end of a podcast episode, it is end.
Okay.
It exists.
So there will be an end to our life.
There will be an... See, my point before we went on this, end exists. A lot of things end. Actually, everything ends.
Okay.
So, that being said, I think that if we consider end as a constant and we consider extinction as something that will probably happen, this is why I say I don't strongly believe in it. There will be an extinction. There will be probably, going to be an event that will totally, finally take out this planet. I consider our actions as a humanity lending to these processes. So in terms of us destroying the earth, in like ecologically, I mean, in terms of our development, technological development, and we see how many ways the technological environment could lead to an existential crisis, nuclear war, AI, viral genomes, etc. We see how these things lead to an existential crisis. So my light theory is, if there is any purpose at all, then the purpose of us humans is to end.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
And what?
To bring to an end, if you will.
Yeah, but purpose here, does it imply any kind of external actor?
No.
So this is just the end result.
Yes, for this specific theory. So that's why I don't believe in purpose in general, because I think you would need an external factor. But just in terms of seeing the end as already something that will be, there has to be some kind of way to this end. So if we say definitely our civilization is going to be wiped out, and if we say, if is important there before you start go blowing off at the mouth. If we say that it's going to be wiped out, and if we say our planet, what's happening with you?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm preparing for my take.
If we say our planet is definitely going to end, if we say our civilization is definitely going to be wiped out, right? This is something that we know will happen at some point. Then we could say that as a humanity, everything we do, if we look at it actually, is somehow we always keep creating these existential threats. So we could say that the purpose of humanity is to reach this end.
Mm-hmm. We've had this conversation a couple of times. I just don't like you using purpose in this meaning, because for most people, purpose implies this third party actor.
And I agree.
And then when you use this word in this way, I think it's misleading, but when you explain
it... Misleading to whom? I'm not preaching this.
Well, yeah, sure. But okay, in that way, okay, let it be. I'll accept it. There is a purpose in the way that quite likely humans will die sooner or later.
Yeah, and that's the purpose there. It's like but dying. It's...
But then, like, quite likely... Mm-hmm. You will leave this apartment. So the purpose of you is leaving this apartment.
These are different cases.
But it's still the same logic.
So different cases, because I could not leave this apartment.
You will. If not through the door, through the window.
No, I joke there, but of course, yes, it's different. It's just like me trying to make sense out of something. And it's not something that I'm following, you know, and I've decided that this is my theory that I'm going to pursue and try to convince people about. It's just me thinking, and it really came to me after Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Do you want to know how?
Do I?
I don't know. Do we have time for that?
I don't know. Is it a big digression?
Not really. It's still the same thing.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, after Oppenheimer, Oppenheimer is this whole movie, and they show the like creation of the nuclear weapon. And after that, I just thought about this being created, and I thought, why was it done? And then I started thinking about extinction, and I thought about how this, like, there were different existential threats, but this existential threat didn't exist before that time. Then I thought about the next 100 years. I thought about AI. I thought about viral genomes and stuff. And I thought, about all these existential threats that keep popping up. And I then thought, you know what? Existential threats keep popping up, and one of them is going to actually lead to an existential crisis, and then maybe many people die. So
I do share your skepticism, or rather pessimism, about humanity, because it feels like our technology has been developing so quickly, and it, like, the further it gets, the more power it has.
Right.
And like, historically, this episode is becoming an episode on existential risks. But historically, people have never been good at managing and making decisions. Yeah. You know, like the reason why we are still here is because, not because we haven't done any mistakes, not because our leaders are responsible, but because no one has ever had power to actually kill everyone.
Right.
There have always been some kind of limitations, physical limitations. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, people first do it 10 more times, and then maybe figure out how to limit doing it again.
Right. You know, we should have an episode where we discuss power, you know, and like...
That could be interesting.
We should. Okay. Let's go back to meaning of life, meaning in
life. So, both of us don't think there is this external actor. And also, like, it could be God. In most cases, it's God. But also, I think there is something like...
Astrology? Is that what you're going to say?
No.
Okay.
Like, you can believe that things are supposed to work in a specific way without this anthropomorphic figure, like karma, for instance.
Well,
it's just, it's supposed to be this way.
I know that a lot of people do believe in karma. And honestly, sometimes I just say karma is a bitch, but I don't really, I don't think that there's such a thing. But I think that the people who believe in karma, they have some kind of spiritual belief. They have some level of spiritual belief where they believe in some, maybe not an anthropomorphic figure, but maybe they believe in energy, for example.
Okay.
And they believe in something, but it's not like just, they do have some belief.
But it's not, it doesn't have
there
this
is an external
agency.
Thing,
it's kind of like a morphic thing, like energy, they usually say.
Well, yeah.
So it doesn't have the same agency as kind of like a god that has some kind of moral things. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like the universe works in this way, and that's it. It's like it's more like.
No, but I think that not just that one diversion, digressing. Sorry. In Rick and Morty.
Oh my God.
Wait. I'll come back to it.
This
I
is
think
a 2-hour episode.
No. Don't worry.
No, seriously.
In Rick and Morty.
Okay.
Remember, there's this gas that he's supposed to kill, antimatter, I think, that he's supposed to kill, and it sinks, and it shows you it makes people do things. I cried in that episode.
Why?
Honestly, like this gas kind of like gets into people's heads. And like changes people's minds and makes them kill each other. And that's how it operates. It works like on a mental level, telepathy. And I just thought of that in sort of like, what if, imagine like in a more real term, in terms of like news and in terms of like propaganda, in terms of like actual controlling narratives and making people believe you. And I saw that as like, fuck, people are doing that already. And imagine like someone who is so good at that, like Hitler was. And and I felt sad and I cried because I just thought it could happen again now. But anyway, going back, energy.
Okay.
So I don't think that, I think that a lot of them do think that this energy does control somehow this like life. That it's not just like, I don't know. I don't think they would say it has agency, but I think that they feel that it is responsible for a lot of things in life.
It's very decentralized. I think this is the difference. But okay, I don't think it matters that much because neither of us believe in it. So that leaves... Well, you just said it. So that leaves us with, I guess, existentialism. We kind of narrow it down to saying that there is no ultimate meaning for any person. However, at least existentialist says that you can create your meaning. You can own it, your own life. And
which brings us to meaningfulness, right? This is meaning in life. Because if we say there is no meaning of life, there is no external force that has like set some kind of course for you in life, for each person in life, then the next question is then how, what is the point of living? You know, why is it worth it? You know, and that's where it comes in, like making your life meaningful in a way that makes you want to live it.
So meaningfulness as a feeling, you mean?
Yes.
I agree here.
Yeah. So I think that what you said just leads us to meaningfulness, where people have to try to find meaning for themselves individually in a way that makes them just feel like their life was worth living.
I think my biggest problem with existentialism is that I think authenticity, they really like talking about it. Like, just be yourself, live according to your own values. And I have a couple of problems with it. Mm-hmm. First, a lot of people don't know what their values are.
Do you? I mean, could you list values out? Like, what are your values?
I think it's a useful exercise.
Well, I think my guiding light, so to speak, is, well, because when I left the church, I had a huge moral issue in terms of like trying to figure out where my morality comes from, right? And so I kind of settled on something that hasn't left me yet, because I don't have like God so much at all in my life. So I kind of settled on, it's so cringy to say out loud.
Oh, wow. I like cringy values.
But it's about like my relationship with people. I just, like, my main goal is not to be negative to people.
To be, what? You're failing.
What? Am I negative to you?
Yes.
And yet you have me over every 2 weeks?
Every two, exactly.
You miss me. You're always calling me. It's like, hey, now you even created an excuse to see me on Zoom. Telling me you wanted to teach me something.
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Yeah, right. As if I'm not the best person in your life right now.
I'm always the best encouraging you in my life.
And always
you
like,
you never encourage me.
What? Tell me the time.
Tell me the time when you encouraged me.
I told you your chicken was all right today.
After I asked you whether it was all right.
I could have kept my thoughts to myself, but I knew that it was important to make you understand that you could cook chicken. But anyway, but on a serious note, I decided that when I interact with people, and when I meet people, I don't want to be a reason for people's sadness.
Why does it have to be one thing?
No, it's just one of them. I don't know the others that way. I don't know what I can list out, but I just think like it's one of them. And that might be the most important thing, because at that point, I wanted to meet more people because I had just lost like a huge part of my social circle by leaving church. So I think that I wanted to meet people and I wanted to have positive interactions with people. And so I decided that like, what I'm going to always do is just try not to be negative to people and not to be like a reason someone is sad or angry or depressed. Of course, I've not always got it because people don't have to, everybody cannot like me, but you know, I do my best to not be, you know, that person, which means I keep a lot of comments to myself. I'm kidding, but yeah. But you, I don't know. It's hard to list.
I think it is a problem for people because it's not a set of things.
Right.
It is a lot of things, and they are somehow, there is some kind of intricate connections between them. That's one.
But is a value like, you don't kill anyone? Is that a value that you would, is that a value?
I don't know. It sounds like an imperative, like a prescription.
Right. Don't kill anyone. So I don't know, you know.
No, a value would be life.
Okay, yeah, life.
So you can kind of move from this deontological stuff to a value in one move. But I think the problem is that, first of all, it is dependent on your emotional state. Second, it's dependent on time, like you change. So it's even on individual level, it's already hard to track all of it. And then it's so complicated that consciously, we just don't know that much about what's happening subconsciously, right?
That is the thing.
We can't even predict what we're going to do. We can't ourselves predict our reaction to events in the future.
Right.
We do the same. We are maybe better at it than external observers. Not always the case, but usually. we know ourselves better, but we still can't do it properly. And that's kind of like you consciously live and there is something underneath it and you have no idea what's going on there.
You don't have words. It's weird. Express what
not even words. You just don't have access to that information.
Right. But I just thought about a value for myself. Mind okay. your business.
So privacy.
No. Like if it's not my business, that don't do anything about it.
Okay.
I'm minding my business. Like if somebody, I think it's a very important thing that many people should adopt because a lot of people get angry over shit that doesn't concern them, like me.
But I think it's an instrumental value.
Yeah, it is.
I think we should only talk about intrinsic value.
What has intrinsic value?
Yeah, because instrumental values is just a lot. I mean, and it's more interesting to talk about intrinsic values anyway.
We can talk about both.
We should narrow down a little bit.
What has intrinsic value? Go ahead. Life. Why does life have intrinsic value?
I think one thing that I've been thinking about lately is freedom of choice. Maybe we should maximize for an informed choice by all or like as many humans as we can.
What?
By all humans.
That doesn't change the what.
What?
What do you mean?
By choice, I mean we should have as many options and provide people with as many options as we can. So that means on like very practical basis, access to education, access to all sorts of work, professions, inclusivity. But more generally, people should be able to do anything as long as they are not hurting directly, at least, other people.
I don't know that that's good for our society.
I think it's a good basis. I mean, it's very a liberal perspective, I would say.
I agree.
But like, what do you see a problem with it?
Hurting, but like, what do you mean hurting?
Is a lot of gray area there. Yeah. But direct hurting.
What kind of hurt?
Like killing.
Is that the only kind of hurt? What about
beating up.
Is this physical? What about
mental? Yeah, physical. I mean, I think freedom of speech is important. I think it has both intrinsic and instrumental
freedom
value.
Freedom of speech?
Yes.
Intrinsic value?
For me, it also has intrinsic value. It has a lot of instrumental value too. But I think for me personally, it has
intrinsic value. Freedom of choice, yeah, I can see that. But freedom of speech, freedom of choice to speak. Freedom
talking of shit. I'm not being beaten up for it.
Well, I really think that freedom of speech is... I value freedom of speech, but I really think that I'm not mad at some, you know, controlled speech.
I do get a little bit mad, yeah.
I'm not to go to something that we have decided not to talk about.
There's a freedom of speech here.
No. not really. But no, I'm not going to go there. But I think like some control is fine. I think that the problem with freedom of speech for me is freedom of propagation of your speech. And that's where it's a problem. I don't like removal. I don't like silencing. But I do think that there is a way that we can figure out how to regulate propagation of speech, especially when it's hate speech. But I don't want us to digress too much from our topic. So let's come back.
I don't. Just last thing. I do not like laws against hate speech.
Because like you're not on, because you are never on the receiving end of hate speech.
Okay, let's leave it there.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there. Coming back to existentialism. So I said my problem with it is that first of all, people don't know what they want. I think it does answer one question, but it kind of a little bit pretends that it figures things out with this authenticity. But in fact, it just... another question arises, which is not answered. And especially if you think about what we know currently about neurobiology, about how much impact environment has on human culture and who we are, our values. And also, we do actually have some level of control over our values in the way that, for instance, I can choose what to focus my attention on. I can choose what to read. And I know that if I read a little bit more about famine in North Korea, I will care about it a little bit more than...
Famine?
Famine.
Okay.
I will care about it a little bit more. If I read about some other issues...
You might read about it and not give a shit.
Well, I will care about it more than I do now. It's relative.
I think...
I mean, I do think you can... Do you think you can control to some extent your values? Like the way they develop?
Well, I think that yes, because you can simply choose not to pay attention to something no matter how much information is, how much information or access you have to it.
A big thing,
do you care about the suffering of the people of Gaza?
To the extent I can care, yes. But I mean,
I know why you're laughing.
I could have obviously researched it more. And like,
do you think
really,
if you researched it more, you would begin to?
I think it's important. The important thing is like for this emotional connection.
So right now we've talked about this like in private, and I don't think we want to get canceled. So. But I think that I have a more kind of sensitive view in this to this situation than you do. In terms of you always like, oh, and if this happens and this happens, oh, let's analyze this and this happens and blah, blah, blah. But I feel the pain. I'm kidding. I'm painting you to be some kind of heartless bitch.
Which I am, but right, not
no,
here.
No, but do you think that if you looked more into it, you would, for example, say something like, okay, Israel has to stop bombing?
The thing here is that it's not that I am against Gaza, I just don't have a strong opinion.
I understand. So that's
so,
what I mean.
But if I researched it more, I think it could go both ways.
No, but if you researched it in terms of like you were reading, like there was like a constant flow of information about Gazans, like about their running over their debts or they're trying to survive through this bombardment, do you think that you would begin to kind of value their lives more?
More than I do now, probably yes. I think you
could still be able to choose.
I think an important part here is like having these emotions, like really connecting to people, building some emotional bridge. And that can only happen if you like really delve into the topic and like really read stories and like watch some interviews.
But imagine how you would be like, you know, this things that stand in American gas stations that move all around. This tall balloon figures.
Okay, yeah.
Right, because you have access to a lot of information about many things. And you grow up you spend one year like really getting into some information, you start caring about it, you start forming values towards this problem. And then there's other information out there. And you start reading other information and you're just kind of like, if you don't have any ability to choose, aren't you just kind of going around the place without any firm values?
Well, I don't think, first of all, I don't think we can control it like very precisely. So it's like,
I don't think everybody can control it very precisely. But
I don't think anyone can do it very well, in my opinion. It's just, you have some control over it. I don't think you have a lot of control over it. Because even like choosing what to pay attention to, somewhere at the back of your mind, you kind of know that there is something else there. So, and that kind of grounds you and doesn't allow you to go all the way. But
I want to apologize a second. I said America, I meant the US. But about it, but you know, let's use me, for example. I had very rooted, like strong values in something before. I had read the Bible cover to cover. I believed very strongly what I read. Then I started to read other things. I started to analyze other things. I started to consider people, listen to people who had different ideas. And I made the switch.
But how much of a conscious choice it was?
It was a very conscious choice.
But the thing is that you already had this doubt.
Yeah, but the doubt was born from something, though. I allowed myself access to information. Because there was information and I didn't see the point of restricting my access to this information. And to other people talking, especially to like listening to other people speak. And that began to sow doubt, mostly reading, I think. That began to sow doubt in my mind because I think what really started my doubt was reading people experience lives that were different from me and made more sense to me.
But you didn't have when you started doing that, you didn't have in your mind a goal that, okay, now I want to become an atheist.
No, but I'm
gonna do this and this and this, and then I will learn and like train myself to be an atheist.
No, but see, I mean, I'll tell you, this happened twice in my life. When I was 16 at first, that was like first time I really had big doubts. Well, no, it wasn't the first time, but that's the first time that I decided to pursue my doubts and I started to kind of read more stuff and try to see other things. Then I got scared.
Okay.
And I, so personal. But yeah, I got scared. And I remember the statement that I said then to myself, actually verbatim, because I got scared and I thought, who will I be without this? A huge part of me and without God. And I started to change my questioning, not to like without God, but like, is there really more with God? And is God really true? Like, instead of trying to, I was trying to confirm my belief already. Instead of trying
that's smart.
Yeah. So I made the decision that, and I said to myself, well, if I'm doubting, why would I go away? This is literally what I said to myself. If I have doubts, why would I go away from the place that can give me answers? And that was how I convinced myself to go back to church. And I convinced myself to let go of all the doubt and continue that. And then later it came up again and I made a different decision to go away.
Okay. So how much, but you see, you can kind of choose the direction, but I don't feel like you had that much control over it. You chose the direction. You didn't know where it's going to end, where it's going to stop, where you will end up.
But what, so when you're talking about control, you're talking about choosing the value?
Yeah. I don't think you can choose the value. Like okay, I'm going to train myself to have this value. You kind of, you know where you're going, the direction.
The bar keeps moving with you. Jesus Christ.
Okay. And this is my kind of problem with existentialism, because if you can do that, even within limits, you know that you can choose your values to some extent. Mm-hmm. And then how does telling you that you should just live according to your values, what does it mean if you can choose your values?
Well, live according to the things that you choose.
But what do you choose? Exactly. So like, just be yourself, but like,
who are you?
Who am I? Yeah. Someone asks you, who am I?
Well, that is always, the first step is to find out who you are. Honestly, this is one of the most ridiculous questions to me in the world, because I have no idea what the answer is. What is who are you? How do you ever answer that question?
Maybe the question is, the problem is with the question, not that there is no answer.
No, yeah, I'm talking about the question.
Okay, the question is, I mean, you can go into these identities and
like
stuff.
What are we talking physical? If you say who
physical,
are you?
You just...
Oh, I'm a male person named male person. I'm a non-menstruating person.
You are an animal.
I thought you were gonna say I'm menstruating. I was like, what? I'm a non-menstruating person.
You're
named
human primate.
Well, yeah, that's who I am. But I think a good question is, when someone says, who are you? They expect you to have some really, I don't know, deep answer about who you are. Like, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody answer this question. Actually, now I'm thinking about it.
No, what?
I really don't think
it's usually, especially like if it's
I'm so
in any way related to politics. You get this identity. So I'm like, I'm black.
No, but I'm not talking about that way. I'm talking about like, I've never had anybody answer this question like more, like deeper.
Okay, I'm an artist. You never heard like, I'm an artistic person.
That doesn't do it for
me. I'm a creator.
Though. That doesn't, because how do you then live according? How do you then live according to that you? I'm an artist. And how does that guide you in terms of values?
You create.
So what's it? Something that has intrinsic value to you is
what?
Creativity?
No, I don't think it's about
or?
Values.
Yeah. This, so that's my question. It's like, I don't think anyone has ever answered that question. Like value oriented.
Okay, scientists, they like, I explore. Knowledge is my
knowledge
value.
Is the value then. But what would you say? I'm a knowledge seeker. I just punch you in the face. Pretentious.
Oh, it's pretentious, but no, but I like knowledge.
I'm a knowledge seeker.
But if that's the truth.
The fuck out of here. It's like, I think that one of the funniest jobs that I've seen in recent days is I am a culture critic.
A culture critic.
I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, I'm at some point in my past. So I've never been a big reader. And then at some point, this is the most ridiculous book that I've ever read.
What?
In terms, not the book. Mm-hmm. It's like my choice was ridiculous because okay. I read a book on Russian critics, or like basically a book about Russian critics in early 19th century.
I think people who write books like that should be arrested.
This is ridiculous because I didn't even read more than 10 books in Russian literature, but I decided to read that book and I stick to it. I didn't finish it, fortunately, but I read half of it. It was so boring. I have really no idea why I did that.
Because
so stupid.
You're a knowledge seeker.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's have a break and have a drink.
Okay, alcoholic.